till the opener in Miami, and the roster is set. And the roster is... Morning to you. Good Tuesday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is Daily Shot of Pirates. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into football and or hockey. I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Penguins in the same place that you found this. Pirates versus Marlins, Thursday, 4:10 p.m. First pitch, Jesus Luzardo to O'Neill Cruz will be the matchup. And the roster became complete yesterday with the conclusion of the Grapefruit League schedule. And a couple of semi-surprises, and I'm here to tip a cap on those counts. I love the fact that Henry Davis officially made the roster. That had not been known until Ben Cherington spoke it yesterday. I really love the fact that Jared Jones made the starting rotation. These were both performance-based W's for the individuals involved. I don't believe at all that either Davis or Jones was on the radar to make the 26-man out of spring training, meaning on management's radar, meaning they always know who's actually going to make the team. But it's also prudent to keep eyes and ears wide open and minds. And they did that. They did that, all of them. Davis, Jones, Cherington. And I'm here for it. I'm here for it across the board. I'm here for the Pirates, in particular, looking at Jones as someone who can help them right now, to help them win games this weekend in Miami, and not worrying about his Super 2 status or anything else. That's how it's supposed to be done. I'm here for Jared Triolo being the starting second baseman. I really am. That is no knock on Leiver Peguero. I happen to be a believer, not just in his potential, which is easy, but also in what he can bring both at the plate and in the field now if he gets his act together as far as consistency goes. And I really, really, really want this guy in the clubhouse. What a personality this is. An electric personality. Someone you want to walk into a stadium with if you're another player. But even there, I can't find fault. I just can't. Alika Williams is up, and I know that looks bad because Alika can't hit at all. But if you're the manager, if you're Derek Shelton, and part of what you feel is needed for you to manage the game is a late-inning defensive guy, I mean, you're going to take Williams. And hell, if you're even thinking about late-inning defensive guys, that means you're thinking about now rather than then. And that, in and of itself, is a good thing. But if I'm left with, oh, come on, you knew I wasn't going to get through the whole thing, all bubbly and everything, you know? I do like these decisions. I really do. So I wasn't just using them as a preface for the one bad thing I'm going to bring up. I just don't find it palatable. I don't even find it acceptable that you have Bailey Falter in your rotation on opening weekend. Not after you've spent the entire offseason talking about how all that mattered was adding starting pitching. This is our priority. We're going to find a way to boost the rotation. We're going to play games for now. We're going to try to contend. We're going to all this stuff. And then you end up with Bailey Falter as one of your five. Now, I don't believe for a split second that Falter is going to last very long in the majors. In fact, I wouldn't be all that surprised to find out that Falter is just being kept because of a certain set of matchups in a certain game that he might or might not pitch. In other words, he might be your guy that you keep around just in case somebody who's set to start can't go. You throw Falter in as a piggyback, and then you send him down to the minors. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's not necessarily making the rotation on merit. It's not like they have him set to go in the fifth game of the season. Even if they announce that, it doesn't mean that they can't take it back and just use him as a piggyback if, say, Marco Gonzalez were to struggle as he did through most of the spring. So I'm not going to make too big a case out of it. It sure would have been nicer if it had been Luis Ortiz or Rowanzi Contreras or Quinn Priester, one of the three that I'd been harping on for quite a while now. Would have been nicer still if they'd done the right thing and gone to the outside for additional help. But they didn't do either of those things, and one would at least hope, if not necessarily expect, that this is a hole that's just being left there for Paul Skeens to fill. Or, you know, Ortiz, Contreras, Priester. But overall, again, this was the right approach to take to the roster that's here. This was the right approach to take into Miami against the Marlins and try to get 3 out of 4 there. And I say that specifically because Jones is set to start the third game on Saturday. And maybe most important, this was rewarding performance. This was rewarding a couple of young players, 3 of them actually, who put in all the extra effort in the offseason and then who went into Bradenton and made it all count. And I'm talking, of course, about Davis, about Jones, and about Triolo. The one thing you don't ever want to do in a sporting culture is knock down people who are giving you results, regardless of how you think they're getting you results, regardless if you think it's going to hold. You don't want an environment in which players are looking around at each other saying, how did that guy not make the team? Like, what does that mean for me? They did the right thing. Charrington did the right thing. They chose the right players. When we come back, J1Q. This portion of Daily Shot of Pirates is brought to you by our friends at North Shore Tavern. That's directly across Federal Street from PNC Park. It's home of Steak on a Stone, an eating experience, underscoring the word experience. The steak is brought to you partially cooked on an 800-degree stone, and you do the rest. It's a ton of fun, it's a great meal, and it's a baseball atmosphere like no other in Pittsburgh. North Shore Tavern, right across Federal Street from PNC Park. Today's J1Q comes from Michael, who says, DK, unfortunately, a lot of publications have picked the Pirates to be once again one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball, generally speaking around 25th out of the 30. Really hoping they're wrong, but will they be? You know what I did, Michael, after I saw your question and I set it aside to be today's selection? I just casually did a Google on MLB predictions 2013. And here's why I picked 2013 instead of one of the later years in which the Pirates actually had a better regular season record. The first year that you make the jump, that you jump from, you know, being Nowheresville, last place, year after year, the first year, nobody gets it. Nobody nails it. You can look at what the picks were for Baltimore, for example, last year, and you'll see it was all just pretty much the same stuff. Oh, the Orioles will be plucky, they'll be scrappy, but nobody said they're going to win 100 games. Not a soul on earth. Similarly, for 2013 and the Pirates, I found one which was actually pretty impressive. It had the Pirates finishing at 81-81, but it also forecast that Andrew McCutchen would be the National League MVP, which is a pretty good call considering that he was. Another one had them at 77-85. Another one had them at 78 wins. So there was an acknowledgement that they were working their way up, but nobody ever really ever wants to cross the line. And in this case, the line is 500. So what does it mean that the Pirates would still be picked? I have no idea. I only know this much. Whoever picked however they did can't be taking into full consideration the O'Neill Cruz factor, not just that he's healthy, but that he just looks like he's ready to like erupt like Mount Vesuvius. They also likely didn't take into account whatever jolt might be given to the rotation by both Jared Jones and eventually Paul Skeens. Those are a couple of really, really big swing votes. If all they do is meet reasonable expectations for what they should be in the majors, not anything excessive, not, you know, over the top, just whoever it is that everyone thinks they should be in the majors, they're going to get you a few more wins. The third thing I'll throw into that, and this might be one that surprises you, it doesn't feel like anything that Ke'Bryan Hayes does would surprise us in either direction. He's a known commodity. He's been around for a while now, came up in the pandemic year for 1 month and was out of this world. We saw his down periods. We've seen his up periods. We just saw him finish last season looking like exactly the player everyone had hoped he would be. And then we've seen that same player through almost the entirety of this spring schedule. If through Hayes and through Cruz and through Brian Reynolds and through Andrew McCutchen and maybe another little pop in there somewhere, whether it's Rowdy Tellez or Jack Sawinski, if the Pirates can put together a top half of the order that is consistently productive, that comes up with runs that you can count on for the most part, night after night, then you're talking about a different team than last year. You're talking about a very different team than last year. Because that one, in my eyes, was sunk by the offense. After that 20-8 start, it was the offense that killed this team. The pitching kept going into May. The hitting didn't. So what does that mean for my own prediction? Well, this one's easy. I'm out of the prediction business. Sorry, I'm just not into it. It ends up being the only thing anybody remembers about your analysis. Yeah, you were the guy who said they would win blah, blah, blah number of games. Get it somewhere else. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Pirates. I'll be flying down to Miami tomorrow. Very much looking forward to it.